Good evening. So this evening we're going to be carrying on with the 4:12 verses that we've been looking at over the last few months. And back when me and Andy were kind of, when the whole youth team were actually looking into this this new branding of the youth team of the 4:12, we were going through the topics of some of the verses that we found. And when we were talking about the different areas that we could speak on during the youth services, the one that really spoke out to me was love. Over the past 12 months, I feel like I've got a bit more of a better understanding on what Father's love really means for me. And when we were kind of discussing this in our planning meetings over the last little while, it was just something that I really thought God was kind of prompting me to speak on this evening. So for those of you who don't know, like Andy said, my name's Chris. Wife over there, Rachel, we've recently had our first child. Yay! recently had his first birthday, is more aptly put. And full disclosure, I am one of those really intense parents that if they start talking to you about their child, I will just talk and talk and talk because the world revolves around them. Eventually you'll have to tell me to shut up because I will just go off on one. So if I do, just humour me for 5-10 minutes if you don't mind. So as I said, over the past year or so, I feel like my understanding of Father's love kind of really started to hit home sort of in the sort of the core of who I am. And I do put that largely down to becoming a father. It was an amazingly life-changing experience. And I'm not going to say it's easy by any stretch of the imagination, but it definitely has resounding a lot of stuff in me. When I began my journey in faith, I was about 16 years old. Andy was there at the start of that, so he's kind of seen me come along. And back at that point in my life, because I had a relatively rocky relationship with my dad, it was quite difficult for me to accept the concept of this all-powerful father just pouring out love endlessly onto me. It was something that I kind of really struggled with. I frequently found myself asking questions like, well, how could God love me when I was, you know, going through all these challenging times and feeling so alone? And how could he be with me if I was doing all these things and messing up all the time? As I grew in my faith, though, as I say, kind of over the last 12 years, I've slowly sort of become more receptive to the idea that obviously we are all made in God's image, and if we are that, then there must be something about me that God likes enough even to love. You know, through faith is a journey, we all know that, so we do find ourselves in times where, you know, we slip into these little patterns where we kind of question these things, but when I was making these mistakes or having these downfalls, it wasn't a case of questioning whether God was there. It was just questioning how I could receive God's love even more. I knew God was there. I knew God was loving me. So it very quickly became evident I was able to push away those things that I was making, those mistakes that I was making, and just focus on the track that I was going on. You know, just go on the journey that God was leading me towards, down into the whatever blunder I was led to next. I think it's quite ironic, kind of humorous of God really, that he's paired me up with Andy to do my degree, if I'm honest, but yeah, I'm not going to say anything more about that. So when we had my son, I feel as though I gained a bit more of it. I'm not going to say a whole perspective, because I say a year's not a long time. There's a lot of things that I'm still learning about being a dad, but I feel as though I've gained a little bit more of a perspective on what it must have been like for God to have me as a son. You know, I'm hoping that it's a bit of it. I'm looking at all the other parents in the room now. I'm hoping it's a normal response that when you see your child, all you want to do is just squeeze them. Just squeeze them so tight because you love them so much. You just want to look after them and take care of them and just not let them go. And it gets to a point where Noah's flailing his arms and pushing me away and recoiling almost in terror because I'm just trying to pour out so much love and intensity on him that I kind of have to almost remind myself to just put him down and, you know, leave him be and let him do his own thing and just be for a while. On the flip side of that, though, I do know that he's my son. I can leave him alone for long enough. We are finding quite frequently. Okay, thanks, Will. We are finding quite frequently with him being one and sort of getting into that stage where he's moving around a lot. Leave him alone for long enough, he will do something wrong. He will find some untoddler-proof part of the house where he'll bang his head or he will be found playing with something that he should not be playing with. And these kind of things will frustrate him. He'll get upset, he'll get cross, and he will literally sit on the floor and cry out for help. But who's there to pick him up and look after him? Me, Daddy. And I becoming a parent, I found that was just a fantastic personification of what the father's love really is. Just this, you know, just this father who wants nothing more than to overwhelm his children with love. Not because he has to. You know, I choose to love Noah because he's my son, and he is so precious to me. And that is exactly how God's love is encompassing us as well. That being said, though, I'm not saying that receiving God's love is easy. There are challenges to this. 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul has explained to the church that the Holy Spirit has a whole multitude of gifts. You know, we know the gifts of the Spirit. There's the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, healing, other things like that. And all of these are being called to work in unity for the body of Christ, you know, to come together as one church. But in 1 Corinthians 13, it does actually go on to say that love is the greatest gift of all, the greatest of all the gifts that come from the Spirit. You know, it says that I might have the gift to speak in the tongues of men and angels, but without the gift of love, I'm just a clanging cymbal. Or I might have the gifts of prophecy and understanding of worldly mysteries, but without the gift of love, I'm nothing. It even says in 1 Corinthians 13 that I might have the gift of faith to move mountains, but if not with love, I'm nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 actually finishes the chapter by saying, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's God's love that makes us complete. So as I say, it's not receiving God's love is not the easiest thing. It can be challenging for us. Where is the challenge in this for us, though? 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us. We too, then, ought to give our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a challenging passage, whichever way you're going to slice it. I'd like to be able to stand here and say that I love all of you guys enough to give my life, but given this, you know, put in that position, do I think I'd be able to? Wave your arms at me, Will. You know, get put in that position, would I be able to? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I will be honest and say that. You know, I've never been put in a position where I've been persecuted for my faith. And I don't actively seek to try and put myself in that area where people are going to, you know, single me out for what I believe in. I think that's the benefit of living in a place where we, like where we live. You know, we live in an area where, you know, you are free to believe in what you believe. And, you know, a few minor things aside, you know, you're not really going to be victimized for coming out and saying, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that God's love is making me complete. But if I did find myself in a situation where I was called to give my life for my brothers and sisters, I don't know how I could. It would be tough. You see, that for me is what the price of God's love is, though. But I think, as I say, coming back to God's love being ever eternal, that is the benefit of having it there, is that God knows that is a price that we can't pay on our own. God knows that, you know, we're not perfect. There's nothing that we can do on our own without God's power and God's love going through us. But he knows that as we are going through our lives, when we get to those positions where we struggle and where we're finding these difficult situations, who's going to be there to help pick us up? It's going to be God. God's going to be standing there waiting to just squeeze us and be this intense father and just overpour all this love on us that we just don't know what to do with. It's an unfathomable love, the amount of love that God has for us. As I say, becoming a parent, I think, has only given me just a minute perspective of what that actually looks like. But it has definitely changed the way I think about it. So, for me, as I say, as looking through the passages that we were looking at and kind of just, you know, going through bits of scripture and looking at God's love, I think, for me, the challenge wasn't necessarily, am I able to love my brothers and sisters in Christ? For me, the challenge was to be, am I freely receiving God's love? So, just sort of as I kind of come into land a little bit, I just want to sort of just briefly go over a bit of a podcast that I listened to, I don't know, about 6 months ago now, because it's something that stuck with me quite a lot. It's a really simple image of what two people were talking about, just trying to give a bit of a basic description of what God, an image of the way to look at God's love. And basically they were saying, imagine yourself as a glass, bear with me. Imagine yourself as a glass, and above you there is God the tap. When God the tap comes on, the water that comes out of him is his love. Taps very rarely run out. unless it's winter and it's all frozen up, but that's by the by. God's love carries on coming out of this tap as an eternal fountain, and it just fills you and fills you and fills you and fills you. Being a glass, you've not got a lid, you are a finite area. Eventually, that water will fill you up to the top, but God's love keeps coming. It's not going to stop just because it's filled you up. It's going to carry on filling you and filling you and filling you until eventually you overflow. And when you overflow, it's going to start spreading in all the areas around you, to the people that you meet and the places that you go. And for me, that spoke quite, like I said, it's a simple image to think about, but just that idea of God's love flooding me so that I can then flood the people that I meet with his love, it was really impactful. So as I say, just coming into land, main thing I'm kind of wanting to say this evening is really just that once we find ourselves in a place where we can sort of freely accept the love of God, we'll get to a point where we'll be filled up so much that we've reached the brim and we've reached that tipping point where we will start to overflow. And my kind of, not challenge, but sort of thought for you guys to just sort of take away is, what does that look like in your lives? As you go away this evening, gets closer to Christmas, that's obviously a fantastic, brilliant time for us as Christians. What does that overflowing of God's love look like in your lives? You know, who are you going to consume with God's waters? Is there specific people that you need to focus that on, or is it just being in God's love and just seeing who that affects? So just before I hand over to Karen and Will again, just if you'd like to just join me in bowing your heads and we'll just pray. Father God, we thank you for the wonderful gift of your love. We thank you that you're not a father that just leaves us to do our own thing, and you are there, always willing to just be there, ready with open arms, just to shower us with your love, encompass us with a love that's just unfathomable to us. So Lord, I just pray that as we go out into our own separate lives this week, Lord, we just pray that you go with us. Go with us as that tap that's always above us, just filling us with your love. So that as we go out into our jobs, into our schools, into our friendship groups, we can just be that overflowing glass, pouring out onto those around us. Praise in your name.